There are already concerns about a reduction in the use of juries, which have been part of the justice system since the Middle Ages.
Trial by jury. It seems like a good idea, but is it as good an idea as trial by ChatGPT?
Well, trial by jury has been a cornerstone of the justice system for centuries, and it definitely has its own strengths, like bringing in a...
Yeah, well, let's see how that plays out in the UK. Hello there, you awakening wonders. Wherever you're watching us, remember, on Rumble and Rumble Premium is where we make our home, where we make our money, and where we make sure that free speech reaches you. And as the world continues to move at a place that makes it barely recognisable, it's important that we remain connected. In the UK, for example, they're normalising an extraordinary idea: the abolition of trial by jury. Let's have a look at how the legacy media handles this. Remember, the agenda is always this: centralized control, legitimized control, normalized control, and ask people to say thank you while you're doing it.
The country's courts are so busy, the justice system is about to collapse.
They're so busy, can we get rid of juries and have robots? How about not arresting people for posting stuff on Facebook? Maybe. How about devolving power and having localised and regional courts? How about minding your own business? How about resigning? How about taking to task and indeed to trial a corrupt media that lied to an entire population during the pandemic? How about a massive revision of our entire parliamentary system? No. The problem is trial by jury. What we have to do is cleanse every single corner of our nation of the influence of ordinary people.
That's the warning from one of Britain's top judges. The government's thrown money at the problem, but it's still getting worse.
The answer is put Tommy Robinson and Andrew Tate in prison immediately. We've asked the top judge. We've thrown money at the problem. Where did that money go? To the top judge? I'm not suggesting.
There are more than 75,000 cases waiting to go to trial, the most there's ever been. Sir Brian Leveson has been asked to sort it out.
You've got to go through the whole system and try to improve it, not only so that we no longer have an increasing backlog, but that we can eat into the backlog and reduce it to a level that is acceptable so that trials can take place within a reasonable period of time.
We've got to get rid of the backlog. It's an idea that's been normalised by mainstream journalists for a while. Here's a couple of journalists from The Guardian. We don't need trial by jury. They mooted the idea in Scotland during the pandemic. Here, look at that. And also in the UK, legacy media journalists have been putting this idea into the minds of the public for a while. Why is that? Let me know in the comments and chat why you think it would be good to pilot schemes where ordinary members of the public are evacuated from the process of justice. Remember, in the UK at the moment, free speech is becoming increasingly anathema. Also remember that protest laws are being introduced that make protesting near impossible, and that facial recognition technology is being implemented to the tune of hundreds of thousands of cases every single month, with people getting prosecuted. And not to say that that doesn't mean that some legit criminals end up incarcerated, and that's surely a good thing. But primarily what it does is concentrates power in the hands of a few institutions and maybe even a few people.
He suggested fewer trials with a jury to save time.
What would save time is fewer trials with jury. What would save even more time if we just put everyone in the UK in prison right now, took all of their money and killed the absolute worst ones?
Potentially lower prison sentences if the defendant pleads guilty at the first opportunity. The government has said it will now go through the recommendations and bring in new laws in the autumn. But there are already concerns about a reduction in the use of juries, which have been part of the justice system since the Middle Ages.
Now, when people talk about medieval times and the Middle Ages, it'll be with misty-eyed nostalgia. You know, in Pulp Fiction, when he says, "I'm going to get medieval on your ass."
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
No, it doesn't mean butchery with dangerous weapons. It would mean a trial by jury.
Paula Harriet runs a charity that supports those with criminal records.
I do worry about that. That is one of the concerns that I have about the review, that defendants won't have the opportunity for a trial in front of their peers.
So that's the latest from Russell Brand on Rumble about the fact that they're trying to replace juries with AI in the UK. Rex Jones in studio with me.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The American Journal. Third hour is on. In studio with me, the one and only Rex Jones, with his brand new and very spicy Twitter account.
That's right.
You can follow Rex at Rex Jones News with a Z. Rex Jones News with a Z. Rex, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. It's always good to be back with my favorite broadcaster on my favorite show on the whole network. So I started a Twitter again, and you can follow me if you want. If you don't want to, whatever. I will say these are my takes on there. It's my politics. It's not entirely like a it's not a Trump sycophant account.
Yes.
Basically. So if you want to follow me, you can at Rex Jones News on Twitter. That's Rex Jones News with a Z at Twitter. So just happy to be back with you, man.
Yeah, well, glad to have you here. There's a lot of news to talk about. I mean, talking about Trump, mm-hmm. He put out this video, the AI video, arresting Obama. Tulsi Gabbard is talking about, the treasonous activities. I mean, what is it going to take to actually get some arrests around here? What do you think about this? Do you think this is just like distraction from Epstein? Do you think this is just Trump being Trump and, you know, teasing something that'll never happen? Or do you think there's actually movement behind the scenes to get some justice for what Obama and his cronies did?
Well, I'm just going to take my pundit hat off here for a second and just think about this objectively, right? Like, what is going on? Even if they're covering up the list or doing X, Y, Z, you would think that Trump would want to assault his political enemies that did try to steal an election from him and did spy on him illegally. Like, that's low-hanging fruit, right? But we don't see that. We see the FAFO crowd. We see the QAnon crowd. We see the Trust the Plan crowd, and they go, indictments are coming for Obama and Comey, coming now. And it's just like, well, like, why weren't they here 2 months ago? And
right.
The argument that I've heard Alex make on the show, which is the best argument, and really the only argument you can make for this kind of behavior, is like, these things take time, right? And you don't want to bring a case like Marine Comey that's set up to fail so the person gets off and then it's all it's an even bigger FU.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that does make sense to me, but we are, we're getting into the administration now.
Right.
Like, we're into the administration. These things are supposed to be set in motion. Does Pam Bondi, does she just sit in like the office all day and think about headlines, or does she actually like file things and arrest people and XYZ? Like, these people, the job is so big. I don't see any evidence of any job being done.
I don't see any evidence of anything being done either. And it's funny because we have an example of, you know, what this would look like if it was legit, because we saw the way the Democrats treated Trump mm-hmm. over the 4 years of the Biden administration. It was it wasn't like quiet and they were leaving Trump alone. And then all of the sudden they sprung something on him. It was like just a continual update. OK, he's being charged here for this. He's being charged here for this. He's being arraigned on this. He's being called, you know,
4 years of it.
Just constant buildup of here's how this case is going. Here's how this case is going. Here's how this case is going. They're getting him on this and they want to get him on this. They're calling evidence for this. And it's like, we haven't seen an iota of that. We haven't seen one little piece of that. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be, if they are going after these criminals who have, you know, committed crimes against all of us by trying to rig the election and the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. I mean, it just goes on and on. Every single one of these, we should be seeing the indictments. We should be seeing the witnesses being called up for the grand juries. We don't see any of that. So I'm not holding out hope on this, but
I think
this would be the one thing that he could do that would completely bury Epstein. Like, nobody would care about Epstein anymore if we could arrest Clapper and Brennan.
But see,
and
it won't happen because all of these things must be so sickly intertwined. Like Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is usually like how the thing works or like why the thing happened. You just see all this and it's just like a bunch of these people don't want to lose their jobs and they all have dirt on each other.
Yeah.
Like everybody. So
it really is that.
Like, how are you supposed to fix a system like this when, we can't get rid of Comey, sir, because Comey knows about this thing and it's very important. Oh, we got to keep Brennan online because he's got the connection, you see. And it's the men with the like dark ties and the dark suits that come in that Putin talked about. That's such a great clip. And maybe like later on in the show, we might be able to play that for a second.
We should, because I reference that clip all the time.
Yeah, he goes like, the presidents, I've met a lot of them. I've talked to a lot of them. They all have like bold and good ideas, but they go into office and the men in the suits, they come in and tell them how the game is played. And then they have to acquiesce to that.
Yeah.
Like there's what we're looking at now is an administration that has it was like running a 5K before. That's all the administration had to do to be like considered the like greatest of all time. Right. Now the administration has to run an ultra marathon. They have to run an ultra marathon with their hands tied behind their back with no water and like a pack of pygmies hunting them.
Right.
As they run.
Because like, they didn't just run the 5K. Because they didn't just do what would have been easy to do beforehand. And this is the thing, like they go over and they're like, you know, I was reading the article today and Tulsi Gabbard alleges that they did this, this, and this. It's like, it's not alleging. They did it. I don't know
they
what else.
They bragged about it.
They bragged about it. We've got their text messages. We've got the orders. We've got the outcomes of the order. It's like, when is it enough? When have we gathered crazy. Enough evidence to take it to trial?
It's wild. I mean, Mayorkas would stand up there and go like, there is no trafficking going on. I've not heard about this immigration. We have the border is secure. What are you talking
they
about?
They said the border is secure.
They said the border was secure every week.
Yeah.
They didn't just say it like one time. And they go, oh, you know, it's a clip taken out of context. That was the whole message, is everything is secure. Everything's fine. Well, at the same time, surge the border now. We must surge the border. And like, we don't have any indictments. We don't have any arrests. We don't have even an inquiry. Like a special prosecutor was hinted at for what? What was that for? Can we go back to that story? Because I feel like Trump just has like unlimited white rabbits that he can let out. And I heard someone
make
this analogy. It's not mine. But it's just like, indictment. Alligator Alcatraz. Like,
yeah, chase that. Chase this. Yeah, now he's floating. Now he's
The wars are still going on.
Yeah.
Like this is beyond anything else, beyond our domestic politics and the conspiracy snarl and the truth about Epstein and just like how deep the rot goes. Like the world is at war. Like people are dying in the thousands every day in multiple theaters, you know, and the Iran-Israel thing has slowed down, but that will reignite. That will heat up again. We're living in a more dangerous world, the world that George Soros talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We're there. So before we as Americans, we get predisposed to think about domestic issues, think about the dead people. That's what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about the dead people. Like, we got a lot of them now. And think about how the Russians view us. And think about how the Ukrainians and the Europeans will view us when they lose and we abandon them.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Like, the real greatest ally to America is the dollar, and we killed it. We murdered it. Biden weaponized Swift, and then Trump comes in and uses the tariffs. Like, it's just, man, I wasn't even against the tariffs, but when you look at it all, it's just an economic system. Like, it's all just too little, too late, and it's swinging a stick that Biden broke. That's how I
feel. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It does just seem like we are collapsing. We just had the caller that was talking about the fact that California spent $20 billion and couldn't lay down a single piece of rail.
Culture of failure.
Yeah, while China is building maglev trains to go 650 miles an hour. It's like, how did it go so wrong? How did it go so far off the rails? No pun intended, but I mean, seriously, how is it that we just are incapable of doing anything? Like, I was reading a story earlier. You've got this weird dichotomy where it's like you have a story about this guy that shoots a CBP officer in the face. Mm-hmm. He was led into this country by Biden. He's been arrested 5 different times, assaulting pregnant women. He just keeps getting let out. While at the same time,
it's like Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Yeah. He's living like he's got infinite lives on Grand Theft Auto. Meanwhile, you've got stories of like some Irish guy that overstayed his visa 3 days because he was in the hospital. And he gets thrown into detention for months. And it's like
a guy from like Denmark with the meme of J.D. Vance, he gets sent home. Like, what do you?
And it's just like, how can we not do this? Why is it so hard to not just do normal, simple things. You get rid of the criminal aliens and the people that overstay their visas, you put on a plane back home. Like, is this really
like
impossible?
You, sounds like you want to F around and find out.
I know.
Like, seriously, I think of cat turd, and it just makes me go crazy because it is the soul of the boomer.
Yeah.
It is the soul of the boomer that has led us to this. It is crazy. And cat turd's not even a boomer. I think he's late Gen X, but the point still stands. It's the guy that's old and is good at using his phone now.
Right.
It's the dude that spent all his money online, has spent like money on a boat. It's the rich, old, affluent boomer, man, because they don't care. They already got all the stuff and they're going to be gone in 10, 20 years. And they're just like, well, you know, like screw the planet.
And the perfidious boomer.
I've heard like left-wing kids make this argument about the environment, right? Like the boomers, they destroyed the planet, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. A lot of plastic in the ocean. Neither here nor there. The real issue is the cultural degradation because the greatest generation, like my mom's dad is 93 years old. He was born in 1931, I believe. And like that guy is incredible. And like my granddad, who is a boomer, he's incredible, but he comes from like a rural background. It is just like this suburban rot that never evolved past the 1990s that we've just like, these buildings are still here. Like there are no places for young people to buy houses.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like these condos that the old people live in. Like it's, and that's the country. That's how you're supposed to win. You're supposed to import people to work and do the jobs. And then the old people can sit and watch Netflix in the condo.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. I got, you know, videos here. It's, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy and it's also Peter Thiel, both basically saying the same thing, which is like, well, we just, you know, we gotta get the economy going. And, you know, if we're going to have all these people, we gotta be able to house them all. And it's like, well, let's stop right there. Why do we need all these people? Why are we bringing in so many people? I mean, this is what blows my mind, especially like you go out to small towns around here, like anywhere outside of a big city, like any small towns right outside of the big city are just becoming gigantic, as far as the eye can see, just suburban blight, just the same house over and over as far as the eye can see. And we're building these as rapidly as we possibly can to the point where like springs that I used to swim in as a kid are dry now because we've sucked up all the water to feed these housing developments.
It's time for the Indian tech workers. Don't you understand?
And it's literally suburbs entirely of Indian people. Entirely. Like it's 10,000 Indian people living in a suburb
in
Texas.
We got to bring in 50,000 people from Laos to San Antonio right now. These
right
Laotian
now.
People, they work really hard. And hey, we got to bring people in because people don't want to cook. All right.
So, I guess not.
Like, hey, like that's how the conversation goes at like the local level. And this is why like politics are important. I think we really need to pivot. And like I need personally pivot into covering like local state stuff. It's because you look at a lot of these things, like we've funded so much, like we funded so many different like Muslim cities in Texas, like internal ones and whatnot. Like why government funding? Like the Catholic community? Like what? But this is what we do. It's culture of failure. Like the West hates itself. Like, and we are Americans, we are Christians, we are capitalists to an extent, but not to the ends of the earth. We are not like, we don't want to become oligarchs.
Right.
Right? Like we want a good life for ourselves and our families.
Well, and there's the lie that we even live in capitalism because we live in some sort of corporate abomination. Yeah, oligarch. So, you know, it's the corporations are doing just as much damage to us as the governments. And I don't know, you know, is it just that we have not made the argument for ourselves? Like, I feel like it had to do with like the fall of communism where like we just stopped reminding people of why our system was better. So people genuinely forgot because there's an irony in the fact that our system is literally the best in the world. It is literally the most fair, the most equitable, the most welcoming. And yet we are like ashamed of it. It just is bizarre.
Well, we became them and they became us. If you look at Russia today or even China today, there is much more individual opportunity to succeed. And I know that sounds crazy and I'm not in support of either one of those countries, but you can do business over there in an economy that's growing.
Right.
Is our economy growing? Are we doing good over here? Or do we all have to fight over scraps? It's the latter. We're fighting over scraps. At least these other countries, sure, you may not have a First Amendment or have like real freedom or agency, but hey, at least they let you advance. There's no advancement happening here. It's just like a circling around the toilet bowl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lowest common denominator. What is
idiocracy.
Idiocracy. The crabs pulling each other back down into the bucket. It is, and it's relentless, and it's endless, and it's infuriating because, again, you can see the efficacy and the efficiency and the power with which the government moves when it wants to. There's nothing that can stand in the way, and we can achieve incredible things.
They can put tanks on a foreign continent. They could put military vehicles. They could put aircraft carriers. They could put missiles wherever they want in 10 minutes, and they have before.
Yep.
And they choose to do all that just fine. But when it comes to helping like one person, it's like, oh, we got to 2 years in Congress and then we got to pass a giant spending bill that doesn't actually help that person, but it pays a helicopter or a plane to fly around and blow like, you know, clouds and say F you.
Yeah.
That's the level that it's at. And it's like, we really care about our constituents. Who votes for these people?
Honestly, that is the biggest issue is like, how do they get away with this? How are you the governor of California? You preside over just like the total collapse of your state. Cities are burning down. Homeless are taking the streets over. You're spending billions of dollars on a train that doesn't even exist. And then people vote for you again. It's like, you know, it would be one thing if we had an intelligent, informed populace that wouldn't stand for this crap and wouldn't stand for being lied to and abused and taken advantage of and would vote these people out. But it's like, our people are just idiots, so they just keep voting for the same crap over and over.
I'm waiting for meat, like those like 1 pound like cubes of ground beef. I'm waiting for that to hit like $15. I think when that happens, it'll be over. I don't think there's anything you can. I don't think you can stop the world from revolting when HEB has 1 pound like bricks of meat for $15.
Well, that is the key, isn't it? Is that the one thing stopping us from doing anything to correct the issues is the comfort that most Americans are in, that like,
we're putting the cane sugar back into the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that's all you need, right? But I mean, most people, it's like, your life is comfortable, it's safe, you can, you know, it's affordable. You know, people will point to America and say, we're just like Weimar Germany, but it's like, yeah, it's Weimar Germany. I mean, until people are taking buckets of cash to buy the bread that doesn't exist, we're still pretty good. We're still doing all right. So it's like, and they know if they can just keep the level of comfort, the level of entertainment at a certain level, everybody will just be calmed enough not to revolt, not to take power, not to rise up, stay home, eat your food, take your Netflix, drink your fluoride.
Yeah, eat the bugs. I mean, you can eat the steak, right?
You're not going to be able to eat the steak because they're not going to put steak on the shelves anymore.
Look, I just want my Netflix. I want my 200 square foot coffin apartment. I want my like George Soros plush, and that's how I'll live. All right. And that'll be victory.
You just put on your VR headset, fade away into non-existence.
Yeah, dude, play Fortnite.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do we regain like a purpose that people can actually pursue? Or like, what? I don't know, man. I mean, what do we even do at this point? Because everything is falling apart.
We've been, not to step on the question, but I see where you're going with this, and we've been pretty exceedingly negative.
I know. I don't want to be too black-pilled, but Jesus Christ.
Let's take a step back here. The boomerism, like the weak times create strong men. Strong men create good times, and then good times create weak men. Like, that is true, right? And, like, there is a reason why simple phrases like that are powerful, like, even though you might view it as cringe or whatever. Like, there is an important point being made there. Like, we're there, man, and we've been there for like the past like 10 years, really since Trump came down. There is a large portion of the American public, I'd say like 10-25%, that are done with it. Just like, this is all fake, bro.
Yeah,
like, this is all fake. And you talk to normal people, like, I meet new friends, new people all the time, and the common sentiment is like, the government's not real. They're screwing us. Like, they're putting poison in the food and water. And once you're there, you're there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go any farther than that. All you need is more people that agree with you. And that's what we thought that Trump was, is the beacon, you know, like the bat signal being cast. Like, hey, it's okay that we really want to address our problems. But once we elect you and put you in office and we convince the normies that we got a plan here and it's going to be good, you tell us to trust the plan and you don't do anything? When your platform is like the most clear of any guys ever, and like the one item you do, the border crisis, we're just going to bring more people in. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, we're going to take like a poor, like old abuela, and we're going to send her home and be like, screw you, whatever. No criminal record. And then we're going to import like 100,000 people straight from Bangladesh. Like, it blows my mind. There's got to be fairness here. All right.
It is so great. Like, you know what? Let's go out. We got 4 minutes left in this segment. David from Houston is on line 9 and is saying Trump is hopeless. So let's get his input. David, thanks for holding. You're on the air with myself and Rex Jones.
Hey, yeah, super topical. I super chatted your moon show the beginning of the year, and I said it's important that we become hopeless. We need to lose hope in Trump. It was very early, so you weren't feeling it. But I said, if he hasn't done, started mass deportations, done a few other things by May, that we could declare, we've lost hope in him. And we start thinking about a new thing. You seem sort of amenable to that. I'm sure you love people trying to read your mind through the TV, but that's the impression I got. Yeah, it seems like you're on board.
Yeah, I've been saying that since before he was in office, going... Because I could just see it happening where it's like, all right, we're all excited. Trump's going to do it. And then it's 6 months later and it hasn't happened. We're like, okay, but it's still happening. And so I always was like, yeah, is it the 100 days? Should we give him 200 days? At what point are we going to have a deadline of some sort for our, support of what he's doing? I think you're exactly right, David.
I think the hope remains if we keep covering we might, arrest Obama. He might arrest Comey. He's not going to do that. If we just...
Right.
Put that in our brains. We can be happily surprised, but let's spend 80% of our time instead of thinking what could Trump do that we'd be happy with. Let's think about the next thing. The whole world is open to what the next thing could be.
Yeah.
And we can use our imagination.
I totally agree with that. Are we talking to David right now? Is that who
David,
we're
yeah.
talking to? Yeah. I mean, man, it's so hard. Being here and being from here, I'm just talking about the office, the studio, InfoWars, right?
Yeah.
It's so hard being here where I remember a time where Trump wasn't around. I remember the Obama years. I remember the Romney years. I remember the covering of all that stuff, right? Even a little bit of Bush. And then when Trump comes around, you really did have this transmutation of a lot of different strains of independent, freedom first thinking. And we all glommed onto this guy because he was the only dude who ever didn't spit on us, right?
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. And then now to see the level of spitting and pimp handing of you're my hoe. You're a fool. What did he call his supporters in the tweet?
Basically, he doesn't want to support anymore.
Yeah, it's like you
are my past supporters. That are
MAGA
no longer-
means whatever I think it means, whatever I decide. And to me, that's just wah. To me, it's beyond the pale. It's disrespectful to people that put him in office. And we didn't just put him in office because we liked him. We put him in office because we loved him. That's the thing. People love Trump. People on Twitter still really, really love Trump. I loved Trump for a very long period of time. And then you realize you can't really worship or idolize anybody except God.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like that's an error a lot of people made. So fell for it again award.
Well,
I'll take mine. I'll take my fell for it again award. I'll take it.
But it's it's weird because it's they shot Trump. I mean, how it's really, does he not get it? How does he not get it? They tried to put him in jail. They took his mugshot. They the stuff they've done to this guy. Does he really not get it? How is that even possible?
I've heard the argument that it is all a scripted game and that this is how they're manipulating people. I don't personally subscribe to that or agree to that at all. What I do think happened is that when that happens to you, when you get almost killed, when you get shot, whoever is saving you or protecting you at that time, it's oh no, we're gonna protect you, Mr. President. We're gonna get you back in office.
Oh God, so he just become more.
And then
all right, hold on, we got to go to break. We'll be back. Finish that thought. So hang on to that thought. Rex Jones on the other side. Finish that thought.
Rex Jones
and take
News.
More of your calls.
Rex Jones News.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm going to be joined in studio with Rex Jones as soon as he finds his earpiece.
I lost my tail.
He lost his tail. I want to go to a couple videos. I want to get your take on these. I think it illustrates like a weird dichotomy. I don't even know how to explain it really, but I think a lot of people are like way too online. And I know, like, really the strength of InfoWars. And by the way, you can follow Rex on, he's got a new Twitter account, Rex Jones News. Rex Jones News with a Z. Rex Jones News with a Z. That's the
right.
Official one. Make sure you got the right one. You even have a check mark now. Look at that.
I know. Big boy moving up in the world. I didn't have one of those before.
Yeah, and so nobody knew you were the real deal. But I think one of the strengths of InfoWars is that, like, we're normal people to a very large degree. Like, people may think that we're, like, some sort of extremist group, and you know, some of our We certainly hold
beliefs. We run around with tiki torches at night and dance in circles. And if anyone hasn't told you this before, it's the truth. That's what's always gone on here. No, seriously, the crew, some of the most down-to-earth, incredible people that you'll ever meet. The hosts really are fantastic. I mean, like, I've known all you guys for, like, decades now at this point. And, like, you'll never meet a better group of people. A lot of people have, like, gotten other jobs, and some people have passed away that have, like, come from here. And those, like, people, like Jamie White and others, like, really is it's a special place here. It's not just like a corporate media box.
Right.
You know, like, this is a place where, like, these, like, your hosts, like, they have lives. They experience the same things that you're experiencing. They're not riding around in the Tesla in New York on the way to the Fox News studio.
And we're not glued to our phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We actually go out to sports games and concerts and talk to normal people on a regular basis. And, like, That's kind of a rare thing in the right wing dissident sphere these days, where you've got a lot of people that I think take what they see on X and kind of extrapolate that out to the wider society and think, like, this is what everybody's thinking.
X, it's like, no, is dude. Like 4chan now.
Yeah,
it's fun to go on there and to hang out, but I've seen, like, some pretty, like, wild stuff on Twitter. Like, it is not how I remember it at all. People are very aggressive now, and, like, I like that people have the freedom to do it, whatever, but at the same time, you ever see the South Park episode where they're cursing? Like, it's all the
Yeah, I think about that all the time,
calls down the plague or whatnot. Like, that is true to a certain extent. So, everything in moderation, let's chill out and let's be cool.
And,
okay?
Exactly, yeah. And let's just understand that, like, the world is not your X feed.
The world's not your phone. Yeah, exactly.
The world's not your X feed. So I want to play this video because this is, you know, they do these debates where it's 20 on one, and they've done it with Jordan Peterson and all these people. This guy, I think it's Mehdi Hasan is his name.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, and he's arguing against, I guess it was supposed to be Republicans, but a lot of people were.
He got some gropers in there.
Yeah, some gropers, yeah. Some people. So clip number 24, I think this is like one of these examples where it's like, and I see people post this going, this is how we should all be unapologetic and how we believe.
I want a monarchy. Like, screw you, bro. Like, honestly, like this is a constitutional republic. And, like, we like the founding fathers around here. Like, go home. That's my view.
No, and, exactly.
Like, you know, Mehdi Hasan, I don't agree with a lot of things, but I agree with his stance on Gaza, you know, for example. So, like, it's weird now. I got these different political groups. Let's watch the clip.
Yeah. Let's watch this clip because, again, I just want to get. I think this is just a fascinating sort of insight into the modern political landscape and how I think a lot of people on the right, like, don't know how they come across to normal people. And again, it's not even to, like, what's the word, like, concern troll, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm concerned at how you, but it's like,
I mean, bro, we're pretty right wing. I mean, like, if we're like, whoa, then, like, you.
Yeah, you've gone too far and you're not helping. You're not helping the message. So let's go to clip number 24 here. And, This is cringe as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. 100%.
Wow. And if that autocrat kills you and your family, you're fine with that?
Well, I'm not going to be a part of the group that he kills, because that's the whole thing.
How do you know?
Carl Schmitt
autocrats
makes,
tend to kill everyone.
Carl
even
Schmitt makes this point very well in his work. It's the friend-enemy distinction, right? You
Carl
liberals,
Schmitt, the
you,
Nazi theoretician.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care.
Are you a fan of the Nazis?
I frankly don't care being called a Nazi at
all. I didn't
all.
Say that. I
Doesn't
didn't actually say
me.
That. I said, are you a fan of the Nazis?
Well, they persecuted the church a little bit. I'm not a fan of that. But
what about the persecution of the Jews?
Well, I mean, I certainly don't support anyone's human dignity being assaulted. I'm a Catholic.
But and you so, don't condemn Nazi persecution of the Jews?
I think that there was a little bit of persecution.
We
and stuff
may have
like
to rename the shows because you're a little bit more than a far-right Republican.
Are, hey, what can I say?
I think you can say I'm a fascist.
Yeah, I am.
The laugh is scary,
absolutely.
Bro.
I'm just checking
the laugh
who's
is kind of scary. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, the laugh is scary.
Yeah, the laugh's a little off-putting there. I mean, like, I personally, I don't cackle like that, you know. And even Tucker's cackle is more elegant and more refined. That's kind of like a Skeletor kind of cackle, but coming from someone that kind of looks like a lunch lady, it's very off. It's almost like it's a great white if it could chortle. It's very interesting. That guy is a little weird looking. I mean, I'm a little weird looking too, but not like that. So anyway, back to the important thing, which is the clip. I mean, this is where we're at because Trump can't deliver. We got the Zoomers right. So angry that they're declaring themselves fascist monarchists and they're declaring a new crusade. Can we, Trump, please?
Please, Trump. No, but literally, like, and this is, and this is what I keep saying, because it goes, yeah, you know, it goes the other way too, where it's like, if these freaking judges don't stop interfering and stopping Trump from pulling, you know, doing, like, the next step is either going to be like, we get rid of the judges completely, or, you know, something even worse. And it's like, y'all, we figured this out. We literally figured this out in 1776. We established the Republic. And if it was operating the way it's supposed to, none of this would be an issue. But I think you're exactly,
like,
right.
We don't talk about it a lot, because, like, we talk about Congress, we talk about the Senate, we talk about the president, like, executive and legislative. We don't talk about the judicial. And everyone's like, ah, Supreme Court does a good job, whatever. And it does do a good job on these issues that would, like, radically change the course of American society. They have smashed down a lot of the left's attempts over the years. My big thing is, like, D.C. versus, I believe it's Heller.
Yeah.
Like the gun rights case. Like, there is very important precedent that's been set. But at the same time, like, we got flagrant violations of interactions between the different branches of government.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and so it's either fix those problems and keep the system, or the system's going to get tossed to the side. And what comes after is not going to be a better system.
Yeah.
It's going to be communism, or it's going to be fascism.
And
so
as broken and messed up as we were, the entire world tried to copy what we did as an escape from monarchy.
The entire
planet, like, all, like, the parliaments and all that. Yeah, they had it before. It was a little different. We were the ones that made it a real thing.
Right. And like, since us,
representative government,
it has just become understood. Like, people just act like this is natural and it's obvious.
We're
it's
the
not.
Worst at it now.
Right.
But that's the key. Like, we're the worst at doing this thing that we set up.
And yeah,
like, that's where the real rot.
Well, the Europeans developed this weird parliamentary system, but I mean, the fact that it's like, who does this guy think that he is convincing? That's the thing, because you got other people there, like, cheering when he says that,
right?
But it's like, dude, do you not realize that to 99% of normal people, you just lost the argument in a way that is, like, catastrophic. Like, even the stuff you said that was right is now considered wrong because of what you just said.
And here's my thing. You can get someone to no personal property, universal basic income, socialism way quicker than you can get them to that other thing that you're describing, because they associate that other thing that you're describing, for right or for wrong, for propaganda or not for propaganda. They associate it with, like, aggression and violence.
And mass death and innocent people.
Yeah, mass death innocent people. Like, that, we gotta be real here, all right? Like, sure, you know, your favorite historical figure, people may hate on him a little too much, but people may also hate on him for a very good reason. So, like, Hitler, for example, Hitler killed millions of people, all right? Like, the Jews notwithstanding. Like, he rolled into Poland, he rolled into, like, Ukraine now, and those areas, they did some genociding, and it wasn't just of the Jews. So when we look at that whole situation, and then we go, okay, we're going to hold this guy up. I see Kanye do it as a cultural rebellion. If you say, oh, I can't criticize anything, and if I do one thing, you call me a Nazi. Sure, I'm a Nazi. I like Hitler. That makes total sense to me. That's art, and that's a political statement, even when Nick Fuentes does it or talks about it. And sure, you can look at them and say they had an organized society, but they also killed the fuck. Frick ton of people. Sorry. Gotta bleep that out.
Dump that quick.
Yeah, dump that.
But no, yeah, but exactly. And that's the exact thing, is it's like, why would you, because, you know, the beginning of that clip, Mediasan, I guess the guy is arguing for an autocrat, and Mediasan's like, well, what happens when that autocrat wants to kill your family?
Right.
And the guy's like, well, that wouldn't happen. It's like, well, but it might actually, because that is the danger of having an autocrat. Is what the hell are you going to do about it if it does happen? Nothing. Yeah, you're going to die.
You can only give it away once. And I feel like we gave it away a long time ago. And I feel like instead of having one autocrat, we just have, like, this decentralized network of
petty tyrants.
Petty tyrants, bureaucrats is what they're called, right? So, like, sure, let's go to the autocrat solution. Who's our autocrat? J.D. Vance? Like Peter Thiel? Like, the computer, maybe?
It would be the computer.
The computer is our autocrat.
All hail the computer.
I guess that's what happens. And hey, can't argue with that. So maybe the guy will get what he wants. Maybe the computer will love Christ. Hopefully. That'll be the only way for it not to kill all of us.
I mean, that is kind of the thing, is if it's not censored, it does tend to, go pretty far in those directions. But it's like, okay, if you want to quote a Nazi, you know, the theatrician or whatever, just do it. Just quote him. But it's like this weird, like, I'm not ashamed of being called a Nazi, but you're still kind of like dancing around it. Like, if what you believe is, if you have to conceal what you believe, you probably shouldn't believe it, I guess is how I want to say it. And it's like these people are actually tyrants. The left is actually authoritarian. They actually want to, like, yes, crush your will and force you to do things you don't want to do.
We must be better than them. We must not, literally. We must not sink to their level. I remember a long time ago, Alex told me to take the high road. And that's the best life advice I've ever received. It's just like, when you take the high road in life, you win pretty much uniformly. And we had a path to that with Ron Paul, with the beginning of the Trump movement, and still with the Trump base, but it has become stymied by just people lost motion.
Yeah.
Lost the willpower.
You know, and maybe this would be a good time. I don't know if I pulled it in, but, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy was sort of, again, making this case, but it also has to do with immigrants and stuff too. But it's basically the idea that, like, we don't argue for America anymore. And so the only people actually arguing and presenting solutions to the problems, even though they're the ones that cause problems, are the socialists and the communists or the fascists and the Nazis or whatever. And so it's like, of course, people whose lives are being destroyed or people who look at the economic outlay and go, I'm never going to be able to own a house. Something has to change. They're going to go for the people that are offering solutions when the people that should be upholding the American tradition are just failing utterly to make the case, failing utterly to actually show how it can help.
It's failure by design. It's the slow rot so that there isn't a revolt. And I think that's like really the core of what we're talking about here is like conditions are set up to be just bad enough that people will deal with it.
Yeah.
It's the boiling of the frog in the pot.
Yeah.
So to speak. Shout out to Frog in a Pot on Rumble Chat. Shout out to you.
You know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are. But it's our leaders. They don't even have to be overtly socialist or communist or like revolutionary in their aspect. All they have to do is be paid by those people and then break the system. And then the socialists, they come in and say, "Oh, we got our new system. It's perfect.
It's perfect." Yeah.
And this other one broke. Us. This other one broke. That was supposed to be run on this other stuff, and it's like, well, hasn't been running on other stuff in like 50, 60 years, man.
Yeah.
Like you've been putting diesel in a gasoline engine and going, why isn't it turning on?
Right, right. You know? Yeah, no, seriously. It's like, okay, are things are worse, obviously, than they were before. I mean,
more expensive.
Way more expensive. Just the fact that, you know, you used to be able to work one job and, you know, be able to afford a house and two cars, and now you can't. Like, it just tangibly, it's gotten worse. Has it gotten worse because we've gotten more conservative, because we've gotten more, you know, capitalistic, or has our trend been entirely away from capitalism, away from the right wing, away from order and, you know, tradition and towards progressivism and democracy? Because that the more you go in that direction, the worse everything gets. But then they use the pain and discomfort that they cause to bring more people to their side. So it's like they just thrive on failure and death and destruction. But it's like to argue against that, you have to appeal to people's good nature.
That's the key. You said they thrive on the failure, right? Yeah. Like they do. When Democrats are in power and things are getting worse, their base actually likes it in a very weird way. But when you have Republicans, when you have Trump in office specifically, and you see him doing nothing. He does nothing. He walks around the golf course. He hangs out with Howard Lutnick and like praises Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. That is his schedule during the day.
Well, I hear he's reading the Mark Levin book.
9 a.m., you read 10 chapters of the Mark Levin book. 10 a.m., you call Bibi Netanyahu and tell him that you love him. 12 a.m., you give more money to Israel. And like this is the schedule. And then, oh, maybe we have a phone call for 30 minutes with Mark Homan at the end of the day and talk about the criminals we got out of the country.
Yeah.
It is all, how much money can I give to Ukraine? How much money can I give to Israel? How much money can I give to myself?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I see.
Yeah, while Americans are dying in the street in fentanyl and going broke completely. Let's go out to a few more calls. We've got some people that have been hanging out for a while. Alex in Northern Virginia has been on hold for a while. Thank you so much for holding, Alex, on line 7. You're on the air with myself and Rex Jones.
Hey, good morning. So earlier on, you had a caller. And this is just separate from the thought that I had going on. And he was bringing up AI about being aliens. So I was like, okay, alien intelligence. Mm. So in the physical form, it would be in the robots that are currently in production right now.
Yeah.
So you would kind of wonder, maybe that's why Elon seems kind of a little off, alien, robotic type. Anyway, So there was something brought up about Ghislaine Maxwell and having access to, what was it, Terramar?
Terramar, yeah, and the submarine systems.
Okay, check this out. Epstein was supposedly killed in 2019. Epstein supposedly hung himself in 2019. 2020, Ghislaine Maxwell gets arrested. Metropolitan Correctional, where Epstein was, closed for repairs in August of 2021 temporarily. Last I just checked, it's still closed. Now, Metropolitan Correctional is close to the Brooklyn Bridge, which has Piers Access, which is the South Street Seaport. You can get on a boat from there.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go back to 2019. Hold me on real quick. Now, is it a possibility that Maxwell helped in getting him out since they had the tech that was turning boats into submarines? So I looked online for Ghislaine Maxwell's boat license. It's not available.
Oh, really? Yeah, she was. She was definitely licensed to pilot submersibles and submarines and that sort of stuff.
I think it's very likely that he's still out there.
I do too.
I put it at like 25-30%, and like that's huge. Like 3% is statistically significant. Like I think he's out there.
I do too. Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, that is an interesting. I hadn't heard that about the correction center being having peer access. That's pretty interesting. I hadn't heard that one.
We got a nice little boat here. Like, yeah. Come on.
How
like,
very convenient.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the way these guys operate, it's like, you don't need subs. Jeffrey Epstein gets on an airplane with a fake passport and flies out.
I think they would do it just like for the meme.
Because they can.
Yeah, because they can. Like, F you, we're going to leave in a submarine. I love that caller. Like, I'll give you 20%. Seriously, I'll give you 20%. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Thank you for the call, Alex. Yeah, he's a regular caller. Very good. Let's go to Eris in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Eris. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Hey, T-Rex. Yeah, I was telling you guys to beware of the Epstein-Trump judo. It was very commonplace here in Wisconsin during the election.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want all child predators to be disposed of. I don't want to live in the same world as them karmetically. It's horrible living. But I have a question for you more so, Harrison, than Rex, which is like, how do you cope with having kids or making kids in a world where like they can get scooped up and like put in like a sex trafficking ring?
Oh, Lord.
And like use as sex objects, or like it's only getting worse. And like, I want Trump to fix this, because otherwise I think it's going to be one of the biggest fumbles.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that you need to understand, Eris. And this goes all the way back to like the Canaanites and the worship of Baal and Moloch, right up until the modern day and the Hollywood sex rings, that sort of stuff. How do they get their hands on the kids? Do you know, Eris? How did the priests of Moloch get their hands on the kids that they threw into the fire? Parents gave it to them. That's the thing. The parents give the kids over as sacrifices. That's the same thing that happens now. The Jeffrey Epstein people gave their kids to Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sorry to tell you this, but they have accounts where, you know, Jeffrey Epstein goes, hey, you know, your daughter is very talented. I think I could help her a lot. The parents go, hey, this man can help you. Go with him and do what he says. They hand the kids over. So my kids are not about to be handed over, so they don't have to risk that. In terms of just like the outright crime, I mean, it does make you a little bit paranoid, I have to admit, especially like I'm a fan of true crime. There's so many stories where, especially the national park thing, I mean, it's such a phenomenon where it's like a kid literally goes behind a tree for 30 seconds and then is just gone forever. And they find like one red shoe 2 miles. That stuff's terrifying. So you just keep an eye on them. You try not to helicopter, but you just make sure your kids know how to dial 911, how to fight, how to run away and hide, and you know you try to teach kids how to deal with it.
I think it's very interesting. You look at Epstein. You look at Ghislaine, right? Like she was probably like It the Clown to a bunch of kids.
Yep.
You know, and you think about that.
It's like, people made jokes about her. Oh, she has big boobs, whatever. Like, that's a monster. Like, yeah. Just as bad as Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, and look, we know the way that they did it, right? They, you know, Jeffrey Epstein would provide some $1 million grant to some camp where kids would go to learn orchestra, and then he would go to visit the camp because he's a philanthropist and wanted to visit the camp that he was so generously funding.
Make this stuff up.
And he goes around and he finds, you know, attractive girls who have ambition, who want to be famous or actors or whatever, and they go, you know, I've got a lot of connections. I think I could train you and really help you out with this. And they go to the parents and say, hey, you know, I'm going to help your daughter become famous here. And they go to the low-income parents who, you know, wouldn't have a chance otherwise, and they seduce their daughters away. And it's the same thing in The Godfather, written in the 30s. They have a scene of a little girl, kind of a Shirley Temple-type little actress, being abused by the head of the studio, and the mom is right there cleaning up the makeup, going, stop crying, you got to get this part. The parents hand the kids over as sacrifices. That's the sick part about the sex trafficking.
Indeed.
A lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Man, I had a point. It just left me.
Just whooshed away. You know what you need? You know what would cause that not to happen anymore is power plant, advanced adaptogen complex,
right,
as well as methyl drive. That's right. It'll activate your cellular energy. But you brought these on last time. We're about the end of the show here. What will people find when they go to thealexjonesstore.com, Rex?
They're going to find the Power Drive Bundle. I believe both of these are available at 50% off, which is crazy. They're super high-level products. Methyl Drive contains the perfect amount of CoQ10 and PQQ, both very expensive ingredients. You'd usually buy them separately for both like $30, $40 a bottle. You get them here in the ideal ratio. You can take that, and I believe it's like a 90-day supply, which is pretty crazy. I may be getting that wrong.
No, that's right, 90 capsules.
Yeah, 90 capsules. And then the power plant is an even stronger formula made for younger people. It's got cordyceps mushroom for enhanced oxygen delivery and ATP production, which inadvertently helps you make more mitochondria. It's got Rhodiola rosea for dopamine modulating effects for that like drive without an actual stimulant. And then we've got boron in there to amplify your free testosterone. Can't ask for a better formula. They go exceedingly well together. But my advice, if you're older, get the methyl drive. If you're younger, get the power plant. You won't be disappointed.
And if you're old in fact, but young in spirit, get them both.
Get
the power
them both.
Drive
that's
bundle.
That's right. Get them both.
50% off. And that's not the only sale going on right now. There's actually a 25% off site-wide sale. It's been extended one day. So take advantage of it. Get your merchandise, your hats, your t-shirts, your supplements, everything. 25% off for this day only. Also this week is buy one, get one free offers on the Methylene Blue Tincture, the Shilajit Gummies, and the CMOS Gummies. All of these buy one, get one free. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Rex Jones, thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be a weekly thing. We're going to do this. I know people love it.
You got to get the frog plush, all right?
Get the frog plushie before they sell out.
Order the frog plush today. Order it before it sells out.
25% off today only. Follow Rex on X at Rex Jones News with a Z, and we'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned. Alex Jones, 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Just got in my Methylene Blue Ultra. Methylene Blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. Yeah, I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see. Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is gonna work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of hopefully of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the Ultramethylene Blue USP grade at alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed but very on point, and the energy kind of feels clean, no jittery things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll even probably take a, you know, an extra dropper next time.
This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.